are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. Right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, for this episode. And I'm also with the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Hope you're having a great day. So what is on tap today? Well, there's plenty of news and notes to catch you up with in case you've been busy at work or just haven't got time to see what's been going on with your silver and black. I'll catch you up on that momentarily. Also on the show, we're going to be discussing The Low Post, you know, that popular podcast with Zach Lowe. He and his guest Bill Simmons were recently kind of just having chit-chat about what teams can do in the offseason, hypothetical trades. And, well, Lowe came across the Spurs, and he gave his opinion of what possibly could happen to the San Antonio Spurs this offseason. Of course, a lot of Spurs fans thought that was gospel, and it really wasn't. It was just an opinion, just like we're going to give you in a few minutes. But it is food for thought. It is something that Spurs fans need to keep in mind on regarding the future of the roster when it comes to a pair of veterans and one or maybe more of their young guards. So let's go to get right to it. Quickly, some news and notes. The Spurs are back in the gym. We don't know when the season is going to start, but let me tell you, they will be physically ready to go once that whistle is blown. Lonnie Walker, DeJounte Murray, Trey Lyles, Drew Eubanks, who is flipping tires underneath San Antonio highways right now. They're all trying to get back into shape or stay in peak physical shape. So whenever their number is called and they got to hit the training camp, they are physically ready as best they can. You can see that at the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Great photos, great pictures of the guys just getting hard at work. Also, in case you missed it, Spurs great David Robinson. He opened up in a very revealing interview with, I believe the outlet is called, give me a few seconds here so I can get that properly for you, The Point Show, which is based in San Antonio, and he talked about life after the NBA and why he is so dedicated to pushing education among the youth, especially in San Antonio. He talked about the Carver Academy, which he started back in 2001. He also spoke about why education is important for him, and it stems all the way back to his grandparents and his parents, and they had to deal with segregation, what that meant to him, how that impacted him, and why he decided to put all his efforts into education. It's a great interview. You need to go check it out. And also, if you're interested too, he also gives a list of his post-NBA life musical talents, and everybody knows he plays the piano, the saxophone, but he revealed what his favorite instrument to play is now that he's well into retirement. Again, you can go check that out at the Spurs Zone, Box 29 San Antonio, and News4SanAntonio.com. And finally, I get it. He may not be a Spur next season, but Marco Bellinelli is showing that he still has it. He hit a bunch of threes from the three-point line and beyond in a video that he shared on his social media. A lot of Spurs fans were kind of like, ah, that's great, but he's not going to be a Spur. But believe it or not, some Spurs fans came out of the, under their rocks and kind of vouched for the old vet to say, hey, you know, maybe, just maybe, keeping him around is a good thing. Again, you can see that at the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. There you go. Some quick Spurs news and notes. When we get back, we're going to go to bring in our guest for the remainder of the show, Casey Vieira, to discuss what Zach Lowe had to say about your San Antonio Spurs. But quickly, let's talk about Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar ever. 18 amazing flavors, 6 new flavors, such as carrot cake and caramel brownie. They all are great. They are really, really good. They're great tasting, covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious person. You'll be able to maintain weight, lose weight, or just indulge in a delicious treat that is very good for you. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for the keto diet. It's all there packed into one delicious Built Bar. You get a free cooler right now if you head on out to BuiltBar.com and get yourself a box of the protein bars while supplies last, that is. So once again, go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get yourself 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. We are back, and now I am joined by Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter. Casey, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. And man, you know, just when you think David Robinson couldn't just impress anyone anymore, I mean, he goes out there and just does it over and over again.
He's the guy. He's the guy. Yeah. The reason he's loved around these parts, right?
You know, during his heyday, I think pre-Tim Duncan, I always felt that he should have been the poster child for the NBA. I mean, he's exactly what – I guess what then NBA commissioner David Stern should have put front and center.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it wasn't for MJ, cause a lot of it's no fault of his Robinson's own, but I mean, if it wasn't for MJ, I mean, he was in terms of a spotlight, I feel like he was pretty well up there. Right. I think having the military background, right. I think that drew a lot of people in right from the jump. The most notable thing, right, as to how he kind of, you know, and rightfully so, developed kind of that reputation, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, but no, you're probably right. And that's probably a product of MJ being around too.
Yeah, MJ was around that time. Shaq was coming on the scene. Of course, there was Patrick Ewing, your guy out in New York, Alonzo Mourning. The era of the big man, the 90s, was there. But when I look at Robinson, I always felt on and off the court that, you know, model citizen that he was. If the NBA needed, because remember, the NBA was still going through this transition at that time. They remember the Portland Jailblazers, that was still an issue. Stern was really trying to reshape, reform, and make the league marketable. And right. Look, MJ was a great player, and I get that, you know, greatest ever, but he did have off the court issues as well.
He did.
The gambling. What else? There was other stuff. The internal accusation of him not being a great teammate. You know, so all that. But hey, you know, I just want to give David Robinson his shine right now. That's all I want to do for all he's done for San Antonio and then some. You know, great to have Robinson living in the Alamo City. But speaking of the Alamo City, Casey, let's go and dive into the main.
That's a very animated buildup.
Yeah, I know. I think of Robinson, I'm thinking about the greats, and I'm like, man, you know, he should have been put on a pedestal during his time, but I digress. Zach Lowe on the Low podcast, the Low Post podcast, that is, excuse me, talked about the San Antonio Spurs, but to make it very clear, it was his opinion. It was much just his opinion. A lot of Spurs fans thinking like ESPN is going to be reporting something out of the blue about Derek White, we'll talk about it later, getting traded or something like that. No, it wasn't that at all. Zach, they pretty much, him and Bill Simmons were kind of just going back and forth on hypothetical trades. And then just, you know, off the cuff, Lowe says about two Spurs veterans. Let's talk about them first. DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. And at least in his opinion, Lowe's that is, he foresees not many teams knocking on the Spurs door to try to make a swing for a trade for DeMar or LaMarcus, Casey.
And I think that makes sense. And a lot of it is not based off talent. A lot of it is just based off the practicality of the fact that these teams would be trading for guys whose contracts expire in a matter of 12 months. So you're not gonna get full cents on your dollar. And the demand isn't going to be as high as what a perceived asking price would be if you're getting either those two guys for more than one season. And I think that's kind of, you know, when they say there's not a big market, that's the reason why. It's not due to a lack of talent. I mean, I think a lot of people are, you know, you take the punchline away from the Knicks for a second, and you just think about the practicality of it. What the Knicks have the number 8 pick in the draft, and some people have been like, oh, why the Knicks could give up 8 for DeMar. Now, you never know what the Knicks, but a regular franchise, so to speak. They're not going to give up a lottery pick unless DeRozan commits and signs on the dotted line for an extension right then and there. They're just not. And I think that's kind of the perception with a lot of these teams, or I guess kind of the outside perception with people when they look at the Spurs and the bring back that they're going to get on DeRozan, on Aldridge, or really anybody on a contract deal in all the sports, but that's the reality. That's the reality of what it is. That doesn't mean they can't get anything in return because they can, but not compared to the fact that if they might have been on multi-year deals, certainly not cents on the dollar. Yeah. Not getting their full dollar back.
Yeah, it is inevitable that we're going to find out what DeMar DeRozan is going to do with that player option either this week or very, very soon. I believe, and maybe this date moves since, because NBA is trying to scramble right now as far as setting dates of when this can happen and this can happen and that can happen. But October 20th was the last reported date where DeMar DeRozan could either make his decision and opt in or not. And then from that point moving forward, so far as of this recording, there's been no report to that. $27.7 million on the table right now for DeMar DeRozan in a player option. He more than likely is going to pick that up, Casey. I think that's kind of a no-brainer for him. And with LaMarcus Aldridge, he'll be entering his final season with San Antonio. Now, the good thing is that if the Spurs do get some interest in either of the two, the biggest selling point for any team trying to make a deal for those two vets is the fact that they have expiring contracts. That's a lot of money off their books that they can play with if a team's looking to rebuild, Casey.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a team is looking to contend.
Right.
Honestly, if they're looking to contend, even though it's kind of a unique spot, because an expiring contract of DeMar DeRozan has a lot more value than an expiring contract of someone who's, than Patty Mills per se, because you're getting a legitimate all-star, comparatively speaking, to Patty, who of course is a role player. But there are teams who certainly would consider that from twofold. I mean, a lot of the rebuilding aspect of things when you talk about the rebuilding side of things is when you're having a team deal an expiring to take back a contract of a less desirable contract, I guess, so to speak. If there's some kind of attachment in order to free up that cap space for that other team to free up that cap space, if there's a first round pick attached to whomever it may be, whatever bad contract it may be, then you bite the bullet on it and you take it. And that could be the case, something that we see out of the Spurs coming up in the next few weeks or so.
Yeah, and look, even if DeMar DeRozan picks up his option or not, we've said this before, it's going to suck to lose him, whether he balks on the player option right now or he leaves after next season. But it's still win-win. That's $27 million Spurs don't have to pay. That's $27 million they can bank for next season or bank it again the following offseason if they want to be major, major players in the NBA free agency. That'll be a lot of money. LaMarcus Aldridge is interesting, though, because he's made it very clear, Casey, he does not foresee his end of his career happening in San Antonio. He's always says it's Portland. He wants to do it in Portland. He's more intriguing to me because – you could do something with him right now and still have a viable competitive team considering how they played in the bubble without him. The Spurs could net themselves a nice little haul with LMA and DeMar DeRozan as well. But it seems to me of the two, LMA seems to be more quote unquote movable right now.
That's an interesting take.
And I say that because at least DeMar DeRozan, he'll fit within this style of the NBA we saw in the bubble.
Right.
Mesh. LMA, we don't know. You know.
Yeah, but that's a good point. DeRozan definitely fits more. But on a grander perception, who do you think teams look at as the better overall basketball player?
Oh, the DeMar DeRozan.
Probably DeRozan, right? So on the other side of the spectrum, I guess you could say DeRozan. What's the argument that you're making right now? I'm kind of confused.
Well, my argument is that it's like for the Spurs, though, they can be okay letting go or trading away LaMarcus Aldridge and still have a team that is somewhat competitive and plays and well and will be adjusted to this style of NBA. If it's the reverse and DeMar walks, and you know they're obviously keeping the LMA for one more season unless they trade him. But okay, you're losing a player who fits within the style of the free flow, run and gun, get points up quick. DeMar DeRozan versus LMA, who stops the flow of the offense.
Got it.
Yeah.
But honestly, I mean, how much does one really, within the organization, if you're a rebuilding team, how much do you really care about that? If you know DeRozan's not necessarily a longer part of the future, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, he fits, but to act like he's a long-term piece is probably, would one should probably not suggest that.
Yeah, and you look at, what Lowe had to say about the pair of veterans receiving a mild interest. He didn't, his opinion, he's not shutting the door on that. I would not be surprised, Casey, if we do hear reports of X team knocking on the Spurs door to inquire about either of the veterans, especially a team like Portland, who ironically needs a big light LMA on their squad right now.
Right. And just because... Lowe was saying how the trade interest isn't necessarily a dollar on the value doesn't mean that they can't get anything back. It's not, at least that's kind of the takeaway that I would get, is the fact that it's not like they're sitting there and no one is going to pick up the phone or no one's going to make that phone call to get him. I think more in the context that the Spurs are, if the Spurs are looking for, I guess, full cents on the dollar, their full dollar back, then I don't think they're going to get many suitors. Mm-mm. At all. I think that's a little bit different. But regardless, there will be teams interested in adding, two guys of that caliber, I think, at least.
Oh, yeah, you can't tell me a Miami would love to add LMA or DeMar DeRozan to the fold, or Orlando, or out west, Portland, as we mentioned, needing a big like LMA, or even your Knicks, who are looking for at least some sort of marquee name in their uniform. So, I think teams will be interested in them. But obviously, the Spurs have a bevy of young players, and we'll talk about them in a few minutes. And that's the thing, too. If you lose both or keep one and one, however this plays out, I think I can see Popovich wanting to keep these two guys in the end, at least for one more season, because of such a young team that mm-hmm. you see value in their just veteran presence and what they can bring on the court, because these young guys are going to get the keys to the car next season and they're going to do fender benders. They're going to hit potholes. And so why not have a DeMar, as we saw in the bubble, steady the team. LMA, same thing. Patty continuing doing what he did in the bubble. There's that. And that's what I think likely could happen, is we see LMA and DeMar play one more season. And at that point, then it's really, really signs could be pointing to their leaving.
Yeah. I would tend to agree with that. I would definitely tend to agree with that.
Do you see either of the players, take LMA because he's probably, it's more applicable, kind of going to the Spurs and saying, hey, kind of like to get traded out of here. I don't want to be part of a rebuilding process. LMA's done it before. He did it before.
I wouldn't be surprised if they haven't already done it. Honestly. I would be surprised if they haven't already done it. Aldridge more so in particular, because he's certainly been less subtle about it.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't Aldridge was watching those bubble games too. And if we're seeing these things, that the Spurs are playing a totally different fashion without him there and succeeding, he sees it.
Yeah.
He sees it. He's not blind to it. He's a smart guy. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. Not at all. No. If it hasn't already happened.
Yeah, exactly. He did it once. He definitely can do it again, or could have done it now. He does. I don't think for him more so, I don't see him want to be part of this rebuild right now.
Another thing, and I know we talked about this the other day. Another thing too, is that with both of these guys going into contract seasons, assuming DeRozan picks up his, this is their last chance to get a relatively decent payday.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in that rebuild, you're not going to get those opportunities, because the sole focus is going to be on giving the other guys those reps. I think that's another thing. Another thing you have to consider too, when you talk about being a part of these guys wanting to stay, being a part of a rebuild. I think that's certainly something to factor in as well.
Do you think either of the players would net the Spurs some? I mean, obviously, you're not. You mentioned before you're not going to get equal value, but do you think either of the players could net the Spurs something pretty good that they can use moving forward?
Define pretty good.
Well, whether it be picks, whether it be maybe those, you know, young budding players, you know, say for example, I'm off the top of my head, you know, the Celtics, you know, with the Wanamaker or those other guy, I forgot the game.
Marcus Smart or something like that.
Marcus Smart, something like that. You know, I could see that. I could see that happening. You know, we talked about the Blazers, you know, they got Nasir Little, they that's Zach Collins. They got youth on that squad, and if the Spurs are going in that direction, then why not inject the team with young players that have more seasoning than the current crop right now? Because if we break it down, this current crop of young Spurs really only got 8 games under their belt, Casey.
Right. Well, when you talk about, I guess, the return, I think it also depends. That also depends on when you're dealing these guys. Because if you trade them now, you're going to get much more than what you're going to get at the deadline. Mm-hmm. You're really not going to get much at the deadline with these guys on expiring contracts, because why are teams going to give up a first round pick for someone who could be playing there for 2 months?
Yeah.
I mean, crazier things have happened. It depends on the market. I mean, the Clippers gave up a late first rounder, this year's first rounder, to the Knicks for Marcus Morris. So I guess theoretically it could happen. It depends on the team. But flipping a guy for at the start of the season, give the team acquiring DeRozan or Aldridge a full year comparatively speaking to otherwise, I think it probably makes more sense right now to move them.
And here's one thing. I do hope Brian Wright doesn't take the approach of, well, I'm not going to trade LaMarcus Aldridge to a Western Conference team or DeMar DeRozan to a Western Conference team. You know, if reports are true, then the Spurs could be looking pretty right now if the deal that the Lakers offered for Kawhi Leonard was legit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that would have been the best deal for the Spurs to make. And
to be fair, we'll never know that.
We'll never know that. Right, we'll you'll never know that. But if that is the approach that it's been reported that the Spurs don't want to do that, or Pop is very insistent that they don't do that, well, I hope GM Wright does that. And he's a young guy. Imagine having to tell Pop, hey, I'm going to trade LaMarcus Aldridge to a Western Conference team, but we're going to get this in return. You know, it'll be interesting to see, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, what – and the thing is, it's Aldridge. It's not like it's Murray.
Right, yeah.
It's not like it's Murray. If you want to flip Murray to a Western Conference team, I think that's more of a debate, because he's going to be around for a little while.
Yeah.
But Aldridge ain't going to be around for a little while. DeRozan's not.
Yeah.
Murray is.
Yeah.
So I agree with you entirely when you say that. There should be no restrictions as in regards to the conference, as to who's going where. That should not play a factor at all coming up this summer. No, I'm on the same boat with you.
Yeah, I do expect to hear rumblings and rumors that, you know, X team is interested in either the Vets or the Spurs are dangling DeMar and LMA and their expiring deal around the trade deadline and the NBA draft as well. I mean, that should not be a surprise to anybody. But it's definitely interesting to see. You know, I do agree that I can see where Lowe is saying mild interest in the pair of Spurs Vets because of their age, because of their pros and cons, and there's strong pros and there's also strong cons for both players. It's not like there's like, oh, more pros and cons kind of situation with these players. There's DeMar DeRozan, and great mid-range guy, gets buckets, but can't hit you a three in an era where you need threes to get wins. LMA stops offenses. He's right in the back end of his career, although putting up good numbers considering his time in the league. But how much longer does he have in the tank? And does he want? Are these two guys going to be looking for a big payday as well?
Right.
So there's more cons to these pair of veterans. Casey, final thoughts on what Lowe had to say about LMA and DeMar DeRozan.
More, you said more con More cons to the in what context in terms of get the return you're getting back?
No. I'm talking about for LMA. If you're a team looking at LaMarcus Aldridge, you got to say, yeah, leave my pros and cons with, and I use the example of LaMarcus putting up good numbers, not all-star Portland prime year numbers, but still double-double. But he just slowed down your offense.
And the thing is, you can't go into it expecting that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
When we get back, we're going to shift gears from the old guys to the young guys and Derek White. Derek White's name did pop up in the Zach Lowe podcast, The Lowe Post. And in his opinion, he's expecting to see teams knocking on the Spurs door inquiring about Derek White. And we're going to discuss that, whether that's a good move for the Spurs to unload him or to pretty much balk at any type of phone call from opposing teams' GMs. When we get back, that's exactly what we're going to do. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about Roman. Look, I get it. It can be awkward or embarrassing to talk about erectile dysfunction. Usually we brush it off, we blame ourselves, but Roman is here to get you the advice you want and the help you need with no shame. How often do you use excuses, you know, long day at work, not feeling it, quote unquote. I get it. It's not easy to talk about ED, but Roman makes it easy to discuss and treat ED. A healthy life includes not having to deal with ED. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine, with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn and complete the online visit. ED used to be tough to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today and connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn to get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment and a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOn for up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/LockedOn. We're back, and I'm joined by Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter, and we're discussing what could be a shakeup, maybe, possibly, of the Spurs roster headed into next season, all thanks to Zach Lowe and his podcast, The Lowe Post, and bringing up the Spurs to a bigger audience here. And look, Casey, if there's one thing the Spurs have plenty of, that's youth and guards. They're going to get younger in the draft. That just adds to it. They got tons of guards. I mean, it's not uncommon to even see DeMar DeRozan handle the ball from time to time. I mean, that's just the way it is in San Antonio, from Derek White to, as of right now, Bryn Forbes, Patty Mills, DeJounte Murray, Lonnie Walker, Keldon Johnson, the list goes on and on. This Quindary Weatherspoon, you forget about him sometimes. You know, this team is loaded with guards. And that led to a point in the Lowe Post podcast where Lowe opines that he's expecting teams to knock on the Spurs' door regarding the bevy of guards they have. And in particular, he says if he's in any other team right now looking at the Spurs, looking to make a deal for one of the guards, he said you got to focus on Derek White. Your thoughts, Casey?
And this is where the conversation turns to, do the Spurs trade Derek White to get a big haul back?
Yeah.
I'll flip that on you. Is that worth it?
You know what, Casey? There's a big part of me that says, yeah, that do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you can get multiple first round, that might be ambitious, but multiple first round picks back, or a first round pick and a first round talent, do you flirt with the idea? How many times on this program have we gone up here and we said nobody on this team should be untouchable?
Right.
Derek White included.
Yep.
If you're going to get a good haul back, I think you probably pick up that phone.
I really think you do. And even if you subtract White from the equation, the Spurs are still sitting pretty, you know, albeit if whatever NBA team doesn't ask for more than just White, but mm-hmm. you'll still have DeJounte serviceable. You'll still have Keldon more than serviceable. We mentioned Witherspoon. You don't know if the Spurs trust him yet to really give him that kind of leash in the NBA setting, but at least he's there. And DeMar DeRozan, we mentioned, handles the ball. And, of course, you know, they do have a free agent, Brent Forbes, who's not the best point guard, but hey, and remember that couple seasons where the Spurs point guards were getting hit with injuries, he was running the team. The Spurs should be okay, in my opinion, if they were to trade Derek White because of their depth at guard spot. But then the question is, my God, I mean, that we saw what he did in the bubble. We saw what he did pretty much all of last season, right before the pandemic hit. We saw just how much he's become that vocal leader, that leader on the court, that guy who's willing to throw his body and pick up charges left and right and get a chipped tooth, that heart and soul feel to it. I get the X's and O's, but you're losing that aspect too if the Spurs were to flirt and actually go ahead and trade Derek White, Casey.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're loose. Let's be honest. You got to give to get.
Yeah.
And that's why it'd be tough. That's why it'd be tough if you're flipping him, because he's a good basketball player. He's a good basketball player. He's probably if you go back to the argument of who's the best young guy or the most strongest foundational piece, and we always just flip it so many times. And now I'm back on I've been on the Derek White, but now I'm firmly on the Derek White kind of, I guess, stance bandwagon, because it's true. He's good. I mean, he's, like you said, for all those things you just mentioned, you need those guys, the guys who are not afraid to get scrappy, the guys who aren't afraid to take a hit and get physical and just do all those little things and mm-hmm. and make the extra pass and when need be, stuff like that. And he can do the big things. I mean, he can score. And of course, that's not his calling card, but he has his moments where he
could have fooled me in the bubble.
we
line it up the way he did.
Exactly. So it's tough, but if something comes along where it kind of piques your interest, where you're saying, oh, all right, well, we're getting a first round talent and he's kind of tossing it. We up that deal to a first round pick on top of that. And we feel hesitant potentially if, say, White really shows out next year and he earns himself theoretically like $100 million contract. That's probably ambitious, but that's the point being too, is that it could happen. I guess I'll reemphasize theoretically, not that it's going to, but I guess the conversation, that's probably what I'm looking for more directly here. No, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, would it sting? Of course it'll sting if the Spurs were to pick up the phone and go forward with a deal that is good and reasonable to make. The Spurs fans have been through this before, George Hill, but look what happened. It turned into Kawhi Leonard. And at least at that time, it was a great deal. You know, even George Hill years later said that, he gets why the Spurs traded him and that he totally wouldn't do it himself. He says, and at least for a moment in time, it looked like the Spurs are going to be in good hands with the next franchise player, but it's still
a fantastic point. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still never the Spurs a title in that run.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's it. I mean, that's it right there. If you get that title, that's worth it. Then the trade is worth it. I mean, it's a very similar situation. I didn't even compare it like you did right there. That's a very good point. It worked that time.
Yeah,
it and works. The Spurs are at a different spot now than they were then. So if they were to theoretically get that Kawhi back, I mean, that's probably ambitious.
Right.
I mean, you've got to explore it, certainly.
Yeah, and you could see why teams would want on White over the other guards on this roster. You're looking at some of the stats. This is from Cleaning the Glass here. First of all, his usage rate spiked up this past season, a 20% usage rate. His points per shot attempt, and I like to define it really fast, KC, for listeners who don't really understand those concepts. Basically, point per shot attempt, according to Cleaning the Glass, is total points scored per 100 shot attempts. For Derek White, 121.1 points per shot attempt. I mean, that's just ridiculous. His assist percentage spiked up this past season, 20.3%. So he's definitely dishing the ball a lot. And, he started 20 games. We saw what he did in the bubble. Defensively, too, you know, a stud for his position, you know, in the 98 percentile, according to Clean the Glass, 1.7 blocks, block percentage. So we know that he can block those shots on the defensive end. You like what you get out of him. He picks up the charges. We know that. He's willing to sacrifice his body. Yeah, I mean, it will be tough to pull, but if the Spurs get themselves a haul, like you mentioned, then it could lessen the sting. And look, winning cures everything, and if whatever haul the Spurs get nets some W's for the Spurs or maybe vaults them to playoff contention, because right as of right now, they're probably not in playoff contention.
No.
But if it vaults them up to that 8-7-6, dare I say, then I think you do it because the Spurs got to get back on the winning track and they will be fine. You still have a guy like Keldon Johnson. You still have a guy like DeJounte Murray. You still have, you know, DeMar DeRozan, for argument's sake, you know, if he does re-up. You know, you got veterans, Rudy Gay, Patty Mills, et cetera, et cetera. One team that kind of pops up a lot when it comes to Derek White, though, is your Knicks. The Knicks seems to be the team that everybody goes to in hypotheticals, like, well, if you're the Knicks, you want to knock on the Spurs' door and get one of their guards, and you want to go for Derek White.
I would love that.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love that. I would give up number 8 in a heartbeat for him.
You read my mind. I was about to ask you, is he the is he number 8 pick worthy, though, if you're the Knicks?
In this draft, oh, yeah. Hmm. In this draft, if they gave up 8 for him, I would feel like we were fleecing the Spurs.
Really? Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And that's how highly I think of Derek White. How highly I think of him. And I think on the other side of the spectrum, though, I mean, if I'm saying this from a Spurs, on the other side of the spectrum, the Spurs standpoint, I want more than a first. I want a lottery pick, and I want someone, and I want one in the future. That's how good he is. And I think if you can get that, if you have a team who's the right team, who's willing to bite on that and sees that value and is not afraid to give that up, I mean, do it. I like him a lot, but not enough to, you know, to have it screw up to invest the whole franchise in the rest of the way. He's a nice player. He's probably a second, third option, but I really like him a lot in terms of maximizing a haul back. I mean, if they could do that, you got to explore it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and there's been quite the fan react to the article I put up about, you know, what Lowe had to say. We have from Ramon Patrick Garcia at RxPat13. He says, if the Spurs can get back a 3-and-D wing or forward, it would be worth considering. White is good, but he may be approaching his ceiling. I'm glad he brought that up because White is not – he's young, but he's not young in what NBA teams want, you know, those 20, 19-year-old kids. He's 26 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, he's creeping up on 30 already. And, you know, I don't think he hit his ceiling. I think there's a lot of room for improvement for him. But that age has to be a consideration. You're going to get, what, maybe 4 more good years out of him, Casey, versus
His type of play. Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, for
– And he throws his body around a lot.
Well, yes and no. That's very true. And that could be the thing that bites him. But I was going to say, I like the way he plays, his style of play, how it works or how he operates is because he's one of these guys who doesn't get by off his athleticism. Mm-hmm. And how many players have we seen in the league right now who have just fallen off because it's just bounce out the building and nothing really else, you know? It's they get by for the first 6-7 years of their career off pure athleticism, as opposed to intangibles and fundamentals. But then once those hops go, they don't really have a whole lot left. You know what I mean? I think kind of like a Gerald Green kind of almost. I mean, the majority, even he's, I don't want to make him sound like useless, but he's not the player that he was. And a big reason why was the fact that he gets by a lot with his athleticism. Once that goes, if you're not one of these intangible guys, you're going to see struggles like that. And Derek White, though, on the other hand, that's not him. That's not him. He has these games. He has, I like to kind of call it that Chris Paul thing, even though he's not Chris Paul, where Chris Paul is not super athletic anymore, but he gets by. He gets by with the hesitation dribbles and mixing up his cadence and things like that and just IQ. And White's kind of like one of those guys. But the counter side of that argument is something that you just brought up right there, is the fact that he does play, and I say this in the most positive sense, he does play a little reckless. Mm-hmm. He's not afraid to get his teeth knocked out, literally.
Yeah.
And then again, you know, you never know in this league. You're one big hit away, and all of a sudden, who knows what happens anymore. But for me, though, I'm investing in him.
Yeah, I think if the Spurs are going to move forward with this youth movement, why not use that investment in youth, as you mentioned, and then to flip it for something even better? Not to say Derek is a bad player. He's a good player. He's a great player. But is he all-star worthy yet? Probably not.
No.
If the Spurs can flip that for that pick, that eighth pick, and maybe an established good player, like a 3-and-D guy,
I think would you do Neal Akina in 8 for him?
No.
You wouldn't do Neal Akina in 8?
No.
Okay.
No, okay. I wouldn't.
Because no. Neal Akina's got the deep part, the defensive part down. That it's that jump shot though that they're still kind of waiting on.
Yeah, I think he'd be at best Drew Holiday-ish if he really gets his peak.
I mean, Drew Holiday's pretty good basketball.
Yeah, he's a good player. Yeah, he's a good player, but I mean, he's not. He's not even close to that. I mean, that's just like my first quick thought of what the Spurs could get in return. And do they want to add another guard? I mean, I think they need to address the size issue. The size is a big thing right now. They need it. And I hope the Spurs draft for need if they do keep at 11. But if they want to flip White, then, I mean, now's the time to do it. I mean, the bubble finished recently. I think everybody knew and saw, I mean, all eyes were on the NBA, how they're going to handle the pandemic and the bubble. Well, guess what? White had himself quite the showing in Orlando. And that, I think that stayed with a lot of teams. I think that stayed with a lot of GMs that are looking to swing a deal in the upcoming months. So we know that it would have been a great showcase for the Spurs to say, hey, look at this guy we got. Who's talking? Where are we starting? What's the price point at, Casey?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
And here's the thing too, he was playing on a bum foot. He had surgery. I think it was like a dislocated toe or something to that effect. And he had surgery. It was corrected. So he's going to come back even better. You know, he was playing hobbled. He had still put up great numbers. So there's something to think about as well. But at the end of the day, Casey, I don't, as much as it would sting, I don't think Spurs fans should be bothered too much if the Spurs decide to move him, if the deal is good and if it makes sense.
I agree with that. I most certainly agree with that.
All right. Let's see some more fan react to what Lowe had to say. This is from Bill Ingram. He says, that's fine. As long as the Spurs are getting a good player or young players back, I should say, and give away all the vets, you know, so this guy wants to do a complete rebuild, you know, get rid of Mills, Gay, LaMarcus, and DeMar. So again, here's this Spurs fan wanting more young players. We have another react from Vin Z 42392. He says, it's tough, but if White can land us Killian Hayes and Patrick Williams, I think I'll be more than happy. I mean, there's that option too. I mean, the Spurs could have two top picks in the draft, Casey.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Jeez.
I mean that's exactly what we were saying. It's tough if For a guy, you don't, as much as I love him, and I think that he's a good piece to have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really see him being better than a really, really good role player? It's pretty much, do you think he's an all-star or not?
Yeah.
And if you don't, and you can get two lottery picks,
mm-hmm.
I mean, in theory,
you could just
get a chance of landing an all-star there, if not two, as you do waiting on White.
Yeah,
I know it seems like I've been a little bit all over the place here because I'm for White, but I like White, but I want to trade him. I think probably the best way to describe this for me is like I like him a lot, but I think you really need to explore trading him if it's there and maximizing that value, which is a lot. I think let's put that all back into a circle. Let's wrap it in like that.
There you go. You did it perfectly there. Yeah. Look, when you ask the Spurs fan base, are any of the players untouchable? For the most part, they'll say no. But then they'll kind of scooch aside White and Keldon and be like, well, maybe not these two. But even then, it's not 100%. You know, they're like, well, okay, you know, let's see what you can talk. And look, the Spurs, you know, they need a lot of luck. If they want to get back to that glory dynasty era, what did it take? It took them netting the number one overall pick in a draft and getting a guy by the name of Tim Duncan to pair up with David Robinson. Barring that, it took a lot of luck in the draft, Parker and Ginobili, and building that foundation around that franchise player, which was Tim Duncan. They were going to do that with Kawhi Leonard. You're seeing the ramifications of Kawhi's departure still in San Antonio. But the only way they can, if they want to jumpstart that, then yeah, they got to look at maybe, just maybe, picking up that phone, hearing what New York has to offer or what Team X has to offer. And if it makes sense to bring in more picks, I mean, look at OKC. I mean, they're just going to be drafting every position now, right? I mean, every draft moving forward, it's going to be the OKC Thunder draft. I mean, pretty much.
I know.
So the Spurs really got to consider that. I think that is an option. And it's a good option to have. You know, if the Spurs want to get back to dominance and their prime years and really challenging the West, let alone the NBA, flipping some of these young guys like White has to be on the table. I'm still not sure about Keldon, though. I think Keldon is still kind of like the, this kid is special. And that's what I got. That's the feeling.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. You wait on Keldon, not necessarily because I'm sold that he's a franchise player.
Yeah.
But more so, I'm saying you wait because of that exact reason. You don't know yet.
Yeah, you don't know yet.
You just don't know yet. You just don't know yet. So you need at least a year to kind of figure that out, wait that out.
And look, and even if the Spurs don't want to deal with White or Johnson, at least parting ways with them, you know, the jury's still out on Lonnie. The jury's still out on DeJounte. You know, many Spurs fans are now realizing, yeah, you know, these guys got a lot of work to do still. You know, the Spurs can flip those guys as well. And the Spurs fans have been okay with that. They've been okay. When it comes to Lonnie and DeJounte, they've been, yeah, that's fine. But when it comes to White and Keldon, it's more like, well, let's, what are we getting? You know, right. What's up? All right. So those are our thoughts on the Spurs' possible future shakeup on the roster. We heard from Zach Lowe's opinion on his podcast, The Low Post. But what are your thoughts? What do you think about NBA teams not really knocking on the door for DeMar DeRozan or LMA? Do you think the Spurs should be aggressive in that apartment and try to trade one or maybe both of the veterans on the roster? And what about the idea of trading a star young player like Derek White if it means maybe jumpstarting that back to dominance, back to Western Conference power? Will you do that? You can let Casey know at Casey_Vieira. Give him a follow right now because Casey, you sure do love talking about baseball lately. I think you've been talking about a little baseball, a little football, a little bit of everything. So anybody who follows Casey, you get a little bit of everything. Is that right, Casey?
Yeah, more so. A lot of it was just frustration that my Yankees just are fitting a square peg into a round hole, and they don't realize that the way they play and trying to go for a home, you know, go the bloop and a blast every single time, that doesn't work. It's usually me ranting about that and then me making petty comments about the Astros, because who doesn't? Pretty much. But yeah, follow me. Sure.
Are you a Cowboys fan or I probably not? You're a Giants guy, right?
No. Oh, thank God, I'm not a Giants guy. I'm a Raiders guy.
You're a Raiders guy. See, I didn't know this was a new about everybody.
Yeah, I'm a Raiders guy. It pretty much from Madden, I guess you could say. Pretty much from Madden, and that growing up in the East Coast, I never liked the Giants. The Jets were always bad, so I was kind of indifferent towards them. And I needed a team, and in the early Madden 02-03 days, whatever it was, right around that when the Raiders were actually good, and they had Rich Gannon in that bunch, that was my squad on the sticks, man. So I was like, all right, we're gonna roll with these guys.
Look at that! You learned something new about Casey Vieira on this episode of Locked On Spurs. He's a Raiders guy, a Las Vegas Raiders guy.
Yep.
All right. Well, you can subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast, or even on a smart speaker. Just say play Locked On Spurs, and it should play for you. You can hear the latest and greatest of this show. Also, go to the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Plenty to read about and keep you busy during this long offseason from what Trey Lyles has been doing in the offseason. Maybe it'll pique your interest to see what he could be providing on the court next season. And also to get more looks at those Spurs back in the gym, putting in some serious work. From Lonnie Walker to Rudy Gay. Casey, you need to take a few seconds to look at Rudy Gay. How can I didn't look like that when I was in my mid-30s? I mean, it's ridiculous what he looked like right now. Because
mid-30s. Yeah, I haven't hit my mid-30s yet, so now I have something to aspire to.
Well, this is going to really jumpstart you once you see the quote-unquote old man's svelte physique. It's all there at the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio. .com. So for Casey Vieira, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.